Would you all turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37? As I was thinking about the message, in the Bible, God has a pattern for how he operates. And it's a pattern that we need to mimic. In Genesis chapter 1, 11 times God says, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, God said, God said, God said. In Exodus, when God was ready for Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, God spoke to Moses, and he told Moses to tell Aaron what to say. And when Aaron spoke, the power of God was released. So we see in Genesis chapter 1 that when God spoke, what he spoke came into being. It came to pass. When God told Moses to tell Aaron to speak, what Aaron spoke came to pass. Now this is what I want you to see. We know that when God speaks, he's creating, and he's bringing into the realm of the natural. Now, this is what I want you to hear, ladies and gentlemen. He's bringing into the realm of the natural what is already his in the realm of the spirit. He's bringing into the natural what's already his in the realm of the spirit. Okay? Since we are God's children. Well, Barry is. I can't speak for the rest of you, but I hope you know you are too. Okay? We are God's children, right? So, when we speak, we give God the authority to bring into the natural what is already ours. Are you following me? We give him the authority to bring from the spirit realm into the natural realm what is already ours. Okay? So, when God told Moses to tell Aaron to speak to Pharaoh, God was telling Aaron, God was telling Pharaoh that because of Aaron speaking my will, my power is going to be released in Egypt. Does that sound familiar? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven, okay? You know, sometimes I think we know this stuff, but we don't know this stuff. You following me? Okay. Here in Ezekiel, we're going to see another example of speaking God's word, bringing something to life. And I want you to capture that. When we speak God's word, we are speaking life. Okay? We are speaking life. And I apologize. In Ezekiel chapter 37, and what we're going to do, we're going to read through to verse 14, and then we're going to come back. So verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel talking. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones, unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know the Lord. You shall know that I am the Lord. That phrase, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, it appears 64 times in this book. 64 times in this book. And this is number 58. This is number 58. So when God moves through us, it is to let the world know that he is Lord. That he is Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon the came upon them, and the skin covered the covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Verse 10. So I prophesied, as the Lord commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Number 59. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, verse 14, the last verse we'll read, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place in you your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Let's go back to verse 1 of the chapter. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of dry bones. Where was Ezekiel? What does the verse say? Where was Ezekiel? He was in the spirit. Okay? He was in the spirit. The Lord took him out in the spirit. Okay? What I want you to see here, ladies and gentlemen, is that what we are going to read from this verse going forward, it began in the spirit. It began in the spirit. What I'm saying to you is this. The things that we see and experience here in the natural, they have their origins in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit. They have their origin in the realm of the spirit. And it says, verse 1, And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones. That word set, the phrase set down means to rest, to settle down. The image is God has taken Ezekiel and he has set him in the midst of the dry bones, and he wants him to look around and see all the dry bones. He wants him to really grasp the situation. Okay? To help you understand what he's saying is that how many of you remember from your biology that your bones are the structure that allows you to stand, to move? That's the foundation for your body, okay? How many of you remember from your biology, again, that 22% of your bones is water? 22% of your bones is water. Your bones make up 14% of your body mass. Your bones make up 14% of your body mass. My point is this. If you didn't have any bones, you'd be a blob. You'd be a blob if you didn't have any bones. Okay? You would not be able to function in this world without bones. Okay? You would not be able to function in this world without bones. So the bones are the foundation our body needs in order to live and function. Okay? Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So not only did God want Ezekiel to see the dry bones, he wanted him to walk around. Okay, he wanted him to walk around in it. And notice it says the dry bones are very dry. They didn't have moisture, as I mentioned before. Dry bones don't have moisture. When you think about dry bones, the closest example that I can give you is osteoporosis, arthritis. Okay? Individuals who battle those two conditions, they are battling bones that have lost moisture, that has lost water. And so they then have to take prescription drugs that allows some restoration of that moisture. It doesn't take care of the problem. It doesn't reverse the problem. It only manages the problem. That's what the drugs are for, to get moisture back in the bones. But right now, unfortunately, medical science has not found a way to reverse the process. But based on what we're going to read here in God's Word can reverse the process if we truly believe what it says. Okay? Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of Man. Now I want to stop right there for a minute. He called Ezekiel the Son of Man. Ezekiel had a sin nature, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? He was not like us. We have God's life and nature in us. So what we're going to see a man with a sin nature speak and accomplish God's will when he does. Okay? And he said unto me, Son of Man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. O Lord God, thou knowest. So, what is Ezekiel asking the Lord? I mean, what is the Lord asking Ezekiel? Brother Barry, we just read it. We just read it. He asked him, can these bones live? Okay? But, ladies and gentlemen, what is he really asking Ezekiel? And I want you to think about this for a moment. If God is asking Ezekiel if the bones can live, he already knows they can. Okay? He already knows they can. So when I read that, this is what I thought about. The Lord is saying, Ezekiel, do you see the dry bones the way I see them? Do you see what I see? And that is always going to be one of the questions when it comes to what the Bible says and then what we believe about what the Bible says. Do we see things the way God sees things? Okay? Do we see things the way God sees things? Ezekiel, do you see the bones the same way I see these bones? And I'm going to put it in another way. Can you see the impossible becoming possible? Can you see the impossible becoming possible? And that's a very important question, ladies and gentlemen, because when you are dealing with something that doctors may not give you a lot of encouragement or a lot of hope, can you see the impossible becoming possible? Can you see God intervening and making a difference, making a change, sending your life in a different direction? Can you see the impossible becoming possible? Ezekiel had a relationship with God. He knew that if God asked him a question, then he knew the answer. The Bible says that God is not a God of the dead, but he is a God of the living. Okay? Now I understand what they're saying. He's a God of the living. He's a God of those who have his life and nature. He is not a God of those who don't have his life and nature. I get that. But he is a God of the living. Everything God touches comes to life. Everything God touches lives. Okay? So when God asked the question, what he's asking Ezekiel to see, the bones that are alive again. I want you to see what I see, Ezekiel. Bones that are alive again. You know, ladies and gentlemen, all of us will have dry bones in our lives at some point. So the question for us is, do we believe that God can make those dry bones live again? Do we believe he can make them live again? Whatever a dry bone is for you, more month than money may be a dry bone for you. Okay? More month than money may be a dry bone. Okay? An ongoing physical something that you are dealing with could be a dry bone for you. A bad relationship with your children, with your parents, it could be a dry bone for you. Do you believe that God can bring to life that dry bone? Okay? And what I'm going to say next, I'm borrowing from what Pastor said a couple of weeks ago when he was doing a message about, he went through some scriptures and told us how he took them and makes confession out of them. And he said that until you know, you won't see. Until you know, you won't see. So until you know that this is true, you won't see it manifest in your life. Okay? So until you know that God can take your dry bones and make them not dry, you're going to tell people, I'm praying. You're going to tell people, I'm believing God to take care of this. You're going to tell people, I'm waiting on God. If you don't truly know this in the depths of your heart. Okay? And one last thing. Did you notice that Ezekiel didn't answer the question? He did not answer the question. God asked him, he says, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's response was, God, you are God. You know. Okay? You know. God, I know that you know, so you tell me. You tell me. And that's exactly what he does in verse 4. He says, and again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God says, Ezekiel, I want you to speak my will to these dry bones. We must speak to the dry bones in our lives. And speaking God's word in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, can sometimes be the difference between death in our lives and living the fullness of what God has for us in our lives. Speaking his word. And we're going to see how clearly important this is as we continue. So God says through Ezekiel, dry bones, listen to me and do what I say. So we are God's children. When we are walking in agreement with our Father, the dry bones in our lives must do what we say. Okay? Verse 5. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Let me stop there for a minute. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones. Who is actually doing the speaking? Ezekiel. Thus saith the Lord unto these dry bones. This is Ezekiel speaking what God has told him to say. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, that's important. That's important. Because if God's telling you what to say, don't you think that after you say it, he's going to back it up? He's not going to say, you know, Barry, speak to your dry bones and tell them to no longer be dry. And then he's going to say, And he's not going to back it up. God is going to back up his word, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to back up his word. So he says in verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. That word breath is spirit, life. So he's saying, I'm going to cause life to enter into you, and you shall live. God has done that before, ladies and gentlemen. Remember in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? When God formed man from the dust of the earth, and then God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So he's done this before. Verse 6. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with the skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know that I am the Lord. What we see in verse 6, it started in verse 4 when the word of God was spoken. When we speak God's words, ladies and gentlemen, over our lives, when we confess them over our bodies, over our finances, whatever we can, for declaring the word of God over, it starts a process. It starts a process, okay? And we're seeing it here in Ezekiel. It starts a process. And we know that if you are in a process, at some point, you're going to reach the destination. So it starts a process, okay? So when you're speaking about something and it doesn't happen as soon as you like, don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. You're in your process. You are speaking the word. You're speaking the word. You are in the process. Okay? You're in the process. The process we're seeing in dry bones is dry bones aligning themselves in the proper order. God says it's time to put on the sinews, which is the ligaments, then the flesh or the muscles. Is next, and is followed by the skin, the dermis and epidermis, okay, to cover the flesh. Then the verse says God is going to put breath in the dry bones. That's going to breathe, okay? Now, depending on your situation, you have been speaking God's word over. You could be in the sinew stage. You could be in the flesh stage. You could even be in the skin stage. You are moving. You are making progress. But you don't see it because it's happening in the realm of the spirit. Okay? Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I want you to read this first part with me. We're going to read again. Read this with me. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I said what God told me to speak. Are you seeing this? So I prophesied. I have a question for you, ladies and gentlemen. If he had not spoken, if he had not prophesied, would everything that we read about in verse 6 have happened? No. No. You know why? God gave Ezekiel the responsibility to speak. He gives us the responsibility to speak his word in our lives to make so it can come to pass. James says, we have not because we ask not. Here's a book full of asks, ladies and gentlemen. Full of asks, okay? Now, I have a question for you again. Where is Ezekiel? He's in the spirit. Ezekiel is in the spirit, okay? That's where he is. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. He's in the spirit, okay? Where did the noise begin? In the spirit. Where did the shaking begin? In the spirit. We're here in the natural. We're not seeing the noise. We're not hearing the noise. We're not seeing the shaking, but they're happening. They're happening, okay? And when did all of it happen? The verse says, as I prophesied. Okay? I want you to capture this, ladies and gentlemen. The moment Ezekiel began to speak, things started happening in the realm of the Spirit. The moment he began speaking, not 5 minutes later, not 2 weeks later, the moment it says, as I prophesied, as I opened my mouth to say what God told me to say, that's when the noise, I could hear the noise. That's when I could see the shaking as I was speaking. So, when we confess the word, when we speak the word over our lives, ladies and gentlemen, the moment we say the first letter, the first word, things start happening. Things start happening. Okay? If we continue to speak, the noise and the shaking in the spirit is going to be noisy and shaking in the natural. Okay? Going to be noisy and shaking in the natural. Look at verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up on them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. What would have happened if Ezekiel stopped speaking? There would have been no breath. There would have been no life in those bones. No life in those bones. Whose fault would it have been? Ezekiel's, not God's. It would have been Ezekiel's fault that there are no life in those bones. Because God has already told him, this is what you need to say. Okay? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that you may have stopped speaking the word over your life prematurely? Is that possible? Could it be that because you didn't see it happening with your eyes, you didn't see it happening, okay? You got faint in your heart and in your mind and you stopped speaking? Is that possible? What if the next time you had spoken, the breath came, but you stopped? Ladies and gentlemen, it's a process. Sinews, flesh, okay? Skin, breath. Sinews, flesh, skin, breath is a process that's working in the spirit. We don't see it, but we have to believe that what God's word says is true until we see it. Are you following me? Okay. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Okay. Now, because we live in the natural, we don't hear the noise in the spirit. We don't see the shaking. We see the same situation facing us day after day after day. It could be a situation you've been speaking over for a year, 2 years. You're not seeing anything going on in the natural, but there's stuff going on in the spirit, okay? So to you, things look the same. 2 years later, why, O Lord, am I continuing to speak your word over this situation? Nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Okay? Why am I wasting my time? What if your confession would have manifested 2 years and 1 day. What if your confession would have manifested day one of year three? You stop confessing at the end of year two. You needed one more day, ladies and gentlemen. One more day. It's a process. Okay? As you put on the sinews, your level of faith has reached the sinew level. As you put on the flesh, your level of faith has reached the flesh level. As you put on skin, your level of faith has risen to the skin level. The next level of your maturing faith is when you see the life breathe into that situation. You see it breathe into that situation. Okay? 2 years and a day can be the difference between seeing God's promise manifesting in your life. It could be shorter. That's just an example that I just chose. It could be shorter. My point, God says, you've seen the sinews come on these bones. You've seen the flesh come on these bones. You've seen skin come on these bones. But there was no breath. Why was there no breath, ladies and gentlemen? He had not completed the process. Ezekiel had not completed the process. Okay? So I'm going to read verse 9 again. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Verse 10. What do we see, ladies and gentlemen? What does it say? So I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. I think it's important to point out that when God gives us an instruction, we should follow it. We should follow it if we want to get what God has promised to us as a result of following that instruction. This is the second time we've seen in this passage that Ezekiel said, so I prophesied. So I prophesied. I did what God told me to do. When did the breath come? The breath came after Ezekiel opened his mouth. The breath came after he obeyed what God had told him to do. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let's read verses 11 and 12. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried. And our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So for the purpose of this message, who is telling us our bones are dry? Our hope is lost. We are cut off. Who tells us that? The enemy of the soul. The enemy of the soul. We know from John chapter 10, the first thing the thief does, he comes to steal the word that has been sown into us. That's the first thing he wants to do. He wants to steal it. He wants us to feel like we have no hope. He wants us to feel like we are a dry bone. He wants us to feel like we are a dry bone. But God says, I want you to know, Israel, I want you to know, body of Christ, that I will open your graves. Just like I raised up my son Jesus, I am going to raise you with him. And we see this in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's wrap it up with verse 13 and 14. And ye shall know, after all of this has happened, ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of the graves. Verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place in you in your own land. I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. God says that when I have done for you which is beyond hope, then you will know that I am the Lord. This is what he's saying to us in this message. When you speak my word, then I can bring into existence what my word promises. When it says the word of the Lord, in Ezekiel chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14, it says, I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place in you your own land, and when you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. In Isaiah chapter 55, a passage that we are very familiar with, Isaiah 55, and we're going to look at verse 8 through 11, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Listen. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it. Hold your finger. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When Hebrews says the word of God is a two-edged sword, in the Greek it says it's a two-mouth sword, M-O-U-T-H, a two-mouth sword. So what are we seeing in Hebrews? God said in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 11 through verses 8 through 11, that my word goes forth and it does not return void. Okay? So God has spoken. Okay? That's one mouth. That's one edge. God has already spoken. So it is up to us to supply the other edge, the other mouth, speaking in agreement with what God has already spoken. Are you following me? Praise God. Praise God. The two mouths work together in the spirit to bring things into the natural. The two mouths work together in the spirit to bring things into the natural. So here in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 14, God says, when you are occupying your land, you will know that you are living there because you have spoken what I have given you to speak, and I have performed what was spoken. We know that part of our land, part of our inheritance, is healing. We know that part of our inheritance is being fine financially. We know that's part of our inheritance. Okay? So when we get on the same page as God, he's already said, I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. When we get on the same page as God and believe what he says, then all of our needs are going to be supplied by Christ Jesus. Okay? If God says that he has sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all our afflictions, if we speak what he has spoken, we are on the same page that he's on. Okay? When God says something, ladies and gentlemen, then our response has to be, so I prophesied. So I spoke in agreement with God. Okay? So as you think about the situations you are facing, think about the process that God has laid out for us here in Ezekiel chapter 37. Continue to speak the word. When your mind gets faint and you tell yourself this isn't working, remind yourself that you are in a process and that if you're faithful to the process, you are going to receive what God has promised because you are continuing to speak the word. One last passage, Proverbs chapter 4. I love this, these two verses where there are really three. Verse 20, it says, my son, my daughter, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto you. What is life unto us, ladies and gentlemen? The word. What does he say in verse 20? Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life unto you. They are life, ladies and gentlemen. God's word is life. For they are life unto those that find them. And guess what else they are? They are help to all their flesh. Help to all their flesh. Isn't that what the Word of God just said? Okay. So if this is what God has said, Barry, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying, Barry, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Barry, if you will do that, they are life unto you and they are health unto you. So I prophesied. The question, ladies and gentlemen, and Ezekiel said it twice, so I prophesied as he commanded me. Are you prophesying life to your situations as God commanded? Please stand. As I was reading through this passage, it really emphasized to me how important it is to speak God's word on a consistent, regular basis. Is that redundant? But the word of God is always to be in your mouth, in your thinking. Okay? In your thinking. Because Jesus says, for out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So I prophesy. So my heart's desire, ladies and gentlemen, is that you are going to prophesy what God has given you to prophesy over your life. Because the Bible says it is life and it is health. And I don't know about you, but I could use a little bit more of that, of both of them. I'll take all the life and health I can get. Amen?